Homeschooling isn't just about education. It's about your kids, it's about your family, and it's about a lifestyle. Hi, my name is Jackie, and I'm the founder of Homeschool Think Tank. The Homeschool Think Tank parenting podcast is about community, family, education, and life. I believe that these are the things that matter to homeschool families. Tune in each week and let's talk. I'll bring you a message from my heart, an expert interview, or an interview with the ultimate homeschooling experts, homeschool families like yours. Remember to check the link in the show notes below, and you'll find an article that corresponds with this episode. Finally, remember to visit homeschoolthinktank.com for more information about how we serve homeschooling families. All right, let's get started with this week's episode. Today, I am sharing an interview that I released a few years ago. This interview is with my husband's aunt. Her name is Linda Wiebe. And I did not interview her because I'm related to her. Actually, at the time that I did the interview, I really barely knew Linda and I was just acquainted with her. And the reason I interviewed her is because she is a therapist, a very well-respected therapist in our community. Now, she has since retired, but there was a point in my life where I was really desperate for some help and some feedback, and I called her literally in a moment of desperation, and she gave me such good advice, and ultimately, she referred us to a therapist who is excellent and has helped our family a lot. So, this interview is about connection with your children, about relationships, and really you can apply the lessons that you will learn in this interview to any relationship in your life. And the suggestions she gave in our interview, I took to heart, and it literally has changed so much for my family, and my relationships with my kids are most certainly improved as a result of this very interview. So I really hope that you find this helpful. Now, I also want to share with you, I am opening up our online homeschool parenting group very soon, and I hope that you will check the link in the show notes below and join our email list, because then I will let you know when I open for enrollment. And our community is based on the philosophy of connection, community, and education. And you can scroll back in previous podcast episodes and find the podcast episode I did all about your philosophy and the Homeschool Think Tank philosophy. So I hope you will join us in this online community. I am very excited to be sharing this with you and ultimately really getting this started. Because while I've had the vision for a very long time of having an excellent online community, it hasn't really come to fruition. I feel like I am really just now at the point where I have enough people following Homeschool Think Tank to make this happen in the way that I have envisioned for years. So please join us. All right, enjoy the episode with Linda Wiebe, and she is a well-respected retired therapist in our community. I hope you find it helpful.
So Linda, tell us about your background, your education, and how you've served kids for so many years and families.
I did daycare for many years, and I just loved working with the kids and the parents as well. And then I went to college, and I went on to get my master's, and I got my license to do mental health counseling. So I worked as a clinical mental health counselor for 20 years. And I also was a licensed massage therapist and a naturopathic doctor and non-denominational minister. And I used all of those in my working with families. If the family was interested in massage along with mental health counseling, we did that. If they weren't, we didn't. It was whatever was to the best interest of the family and what they were willing to do. And so through all of that, I continued to get more training and applied it to my clients. And I learned a lot about relationships, and it doesn't matter what kind of relationship. It could be parent-child, it could be friend-friend, it could be therapist-client, doctor-patient. It doesn't matter. A relationship is a relationship. And I learned that it's so important to listen. I think that's the key to relationships, listening, and our society does not listen. Insurance companies don't listen to us when we call them. Doctors don't really listen. Some doctors don't listen. Therapists don't listen. Teachers don't listen.
The therapist you recommended listened.
Yes, there are some. There's exceptions. And I like to think that I listened. And building a relationship with your child is key for them to learn, which is what Jackie is really working at doing, is helping people to help their children to learn. And I admire that.
Thank you, Linda. Well, so it's sort of funny because that's where I needed help all those years ago, is I was struggling with my relationship with one of my daughters. Honestly, it's always been a struggle. I always had good intentions, and I always wanted to do the best for my child. But when we were preparing for this interview, I mentioned to you that I think I'm a good mom. I really do. I believe I'm a good mom, and I've been a good mom, but I wasn't always the right mom for my youngest daughter, because the way she needs to be approached is not the way I approach people. I am very direct, and she needs, let's take this side road and take a detour, and then this side road and take a detour. And sometimes my approach is not perfect for the way she needs to learn. And I believe my approach has caused us a tremendous amount of struggle over the years. It's not the only reason. I believe there are other things at play here. But I believe I would have known then what I know now, I would have approached things different. So we're talking about relationships today. And because it's probably the most important thing between you and your child. It's more important than the curriculum you choose. It's more important than what you teach exactly. Because I found this to be true for me, and I think it's probably true for most people. If I don't have the relationship that I need with my child, I can't teach her anything. And that's where she ended up going to private school for a year and a half, because our relationship was so damaged that, now I'm going to cry, and not intentionally. I had good intentions, mm-hmm. but we were struggling so much that I literally could not teach her. So we had to change. By breaking those patterns, we were able to reestablish. But let me be clear, it's still not perfect today. We still have struggles. We go through periods of where it's going pretty good, and then some periods of struggles. But I'm trying.
Yeah, and that's all we can do, is to do the best we can. And in that struggle, you're learning from her, and she is learning about the world and from you. Mm-hmm. And that's all that's important, is that you have that relationship and you're helping each other. That may be a purpose, that she is your daughter, mm-hmm. is for you to help each other.
Oh, yeah. I'm a better person because of my kids. There's no doubt about it.
And when we as parents are trying to, I'm going to say be rigid with getting our children to do their homework and all this, which is, that's the way I was. It doesn't work. I mean, we can make them sit at the table and look at the book, but we can't make them learn. And they will only learn if they want and if they're interested and they are willing to put themselves in that learning position.
I agree. So I think we've established to some degree why relationships are so important. And I they're more so than just for learning.
Mm-hmm.
Why else mm-hmm. would you say relationships with your kids are so important? I mean, I think we all intuitively know they're important, but what are some of the other things that come to mind for you as to strong whys?
For a relationship with our children?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for one thing, they're your child, and you can be more of a support when they go through the developmental stages if you have a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with them, then when they get to certain developmental stages, they're going to explore on their own and choose a way that is going to cause them harm, either currently or down the road. And it could also cause harm for the entire family. So relationships are, I think they're key, they're core to being a productive human being in the world and in making a relationship with a partner. You have to be able to listen. You have to be able to share. Relationships with friends. There's some friends we can tell this to and some friends we can tell that to, but it very seldom do we have a friend that we can share everything with. And when we find that, we need to try and keep that. Socialization is very important, and older people need to socialize. And if they haven't socialized while they're Jackie's age or younger, then when they're my age, they're not going to be able to really socialize. They're not going to enjoy it. They're not going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And that is key to having a healthy life.
Well, and in the end, everything I'm creating with Homeschool Think Tank, while I didn't know this when I very first started, at this point in the game, we're creating the Homeschool Think Tank community. And Linda doesn't really know a whole lot about it yet, but everything revolves around community, because that's something I recognize that I have struggled with. And I want to help my kids. And by doing this, I'm going to be able to better serve my own children. But I know for a fact, I am not alone. And that other people need this too. So even if you have like a group, it's nice to have a few groups and a few other people that have, like, I don't know, I've always wanted to start like a hiking group. And as a result of this, I have one person who wants to do the hiking group with me locally now, and I bet now we'll have more. And so by next spring, hopefully we have a nice little hiking group going.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily everybody that I knew wanted to be part of a hiking group. You know, it's not their cup of tea. So, and I'm looking to do it as like, I know there are dads who homeschool their kids, and certainly they would be welcome, but mostly moms homeschool their kids as moms and kids together on a weekday, you know, every mm-hmm. few weeks. Let's go do something. Maybe someday do a big trip. You know, do the Grand Canyon, or it doesn't even have to be the Grand Canyon. There are other smaller, more achievable trips to do, but to do that so that you can build community around that exercise. So everything, the relationships, it all boils into this. Now then, let's say a mom like me back then was struggling with my daughter on that relationship. And I know this happens to parents. I have ears. I hear these things and I read them too. I see it where the parent is homeschooling their kid and they're like me. They have good intentions. There's a reason they want to homeschool their kids. They want to be with their kids a lot. They want to share those values. They want to do all these things, but doggone it, it's not going right. They're struggling. What do you do? What do you think a parent should do when they're struggling with their relationship and their kids and their homeschooling parents? There's education at stake too.
Well, maybe the first thing would be to ask yourself, what is it that is not working and what is it that is working? And then look at, I mean, it could even be writing it down. You make a list of what's not working and a list of what is, and then look at what is not working and what would make it better. What do you think would make it better? And you might not get it the first guess, of what you think might, but that doesn't mean you can't keep trying. And what is working, I would hold on to those things because obviously it's working with the child. And that is what you want, for them to be learning. And the world is full of things to learn. It doesn't have to be adding or subtracting. Things fall into that. Even now I'm finding that doing quilting requires a lot of math, which is not my strong point. But I'm practicing.
Yes. Well, and I would love to get, like, you can do it too if you want. My mother-in-law and, like, we've sort of got this, like, group of grandmas around, and I'm like, grandmas and quilting and kids, and then I get a little break for 2 hours. I mean, I can go help sometimes, but I'm like, you know, as a homeschooling parent, sometimes you need a break, and I think it's good to help our kids build relationships with other people, because then when they're struggling with me, they have Nana to turn to.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for that.
Yes, yes. And that helps them to feel better about themselves too. So what you really want to do is to look at what is working and what is not. And maybe with the things that are not working, maybe you can just throw them out. Sometimes that's possible. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be like a book, and it doesn't have to be in a certain order. It's important to look at how does your child learn? Do they learn with hands-on? Do they learn by hearing? Do they learn by seeing? Do they learn by reading? Do they learn by music? And whatever it is, and maybe there's a combination of those things. And it might not be the way you learn, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is to look at how do they learn and to apply what you're trying to get them to learn in a style that is in their learning style. Also, to listen to them, make sure you hear what they're saying, and that would be just repeating what you think you hear, and they can say yes or no.
I can do better at this. Because I know with my youngest sometimes, and it's happened recently, where she doesn't feel like I'm really listening to her. And I find that, and I know why she doesn't think so, because I'm not. It's the truth sometimes. But it's because, okay, she's really into snakes. And I could care less about snakes, other than my daughter loves snakes. And I mean, we created a vision board in January, and on her vision board was getting a snake. And even though I do not want a snake in my house, honestly, like, I like the girls that they get it out, like, I scream, I'm like, ah! We have a snake in our house now in an aquarium, because I wanted her to feel that sense of accomplishment of getting this thing that she really wanted. And, you know, she saves her money and feeds it herself, and she takes care of it. And, oh my God, I don't want a snake in my house. Like, I don't. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing about snakes. I could scream. and because I'm genuinely not interested in snakes, other than for the sake of my daughter, sometimes she can be talking about them, and I zone out. But I've heard it like, I've heard the same thing 100 times. So, but it's still important for her to feel heard,
yes,
and validated, and for me to repeat,
yes,
the knowledge of snakes that I don't care about at all.
Yes.
Because it matters to her.
And as an adult, when she is in, or even maybe a teenager with friends, if she doesn't feel heard, she's not going to feel valued. And every time somebody doesn't respond in a validating way, she's going to feel not heard.
Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that I don't care about snakes, what you're saying is I really need to reinforce the snake stuff.
Yes, I think that's awesome.
It's a perfect example, though. I don't know a parent who doesn't have a child, especially in these, like, young teenagers. They latch onto something so tight, and that's all they talk about. Like, okay, with my oldest daughter, I have to say her talk was more interesting to me. at this same age, she was totally into the Romanovs and Russian history. Like, she is a history geek. I mean, like, she can put most history teachers to shame on her knowledge of history, but that's what she latched on to. And I have to say, I found more value in that than I do in the snake stuff. But it's basically still the same thing. Okay. They're still both learning something that I did not even assign them. I mean, like, literally, Laura, actually, we already own a domain name for her to set up a website around snakes so that she can start sharing this stuff. And I really need to get her started, because then she can talk to the YouTube camera about snakes.
And then, you so much.
And then inside the homeschool think tank community, I think I'm going to let her have her own group, because I feel like it should be in a safe area and, like, gear it toward other kids, mm-hmm. you know, around snakes. And mm-hmm. I know she's going to find some other homeschool kids who love snakes too.
Right. I would have trouble with that too, but that would definitely be personal growth.
It is. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, my brother got into Pokemon, my youngest brother. I'll take the snakes over Pokemon, I have to say. At least it's, like, a real living thing, and she's actually learning about anatomy, and, like, I call it an it, and she was so offended, because it's a she, Mom. And then
last week she discovered it's a he.
I said, see, I was right, it's an it. Expected to call it a he instead of a she. So anyway, it's a snake. But so that's one part of relationship building, is finding mm-hmm. being interested mm-hmm. in what your kids are interested in, even mm-hmm. when it doesn't, when it's not something you want.
Right. And watching your response. Are you reacting or are you responding?
I sometimes just sort of respond with, yeah.
React.
Or is that reacting and not reacting? What's the technical difference?
Reacting is your immediate, and it could be like, what'd you do that for?
Oh.
And response would be, okay, let's talk about what you were feeling when you did that. So it's calmer, it's more...
Okay.
Non-judgmental, mm-hmm. I guess. And to react is that immediate...
That immediate response that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's in a more negative. And we don't want to do that with the kids. We can ask questions instead of reacting and find out why. What caused this? What were they thinking? What was their goal? And that is letting them know that you're interested in how they feel and what they're thinking and what they're doing.
So asking more questions is good for relationship building.
Yes. Yes, it is. Very good.
Oh, and you know what? I want to touch on this. I'm glancing at my notes here, because we talked before we talked. And something else that you touched on with relationships, and I can't remember everything around it, maybe you can, is safety. You know, kids want to make decisions, and there's something we talked about them feeling safe with. Mm-hmm. Do you remember?
Kind of. I think what we were talking about is that to let the child make decisions unless there's a safety issue. And then the parent needs to make the choice. There's no question about that, because you want your child to be safe. But if the kids can make decisions and then pay the price, if it was the wrong one, because they're in your home, they're in a loving place, so they're safe to make the wrong choice. And that's a learning experience when you have the consequences. And the consequences at a younger age are less hurtful, damaging.
Less long-term consequences.
Than when they're an adult or even 19.
Well, here's something I've been struggling with on letting my daughter make decisions. And there is a slight bit of safety there, but not really too much, because she's going to come inside. So the weather has changed dramatically over the last few weeks, and you know, the nights are, it might be 28 degrees at 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. Well, we have horses, and all summer long, she has, on her own, been getting up at 6 a.m. to ride her horses. A few weeks ago, she pushed it back to 7 because it got too cold, and we had to just let her learn that 6 a.m. is not a great time to go out. And, you know, we told her it's going to be like 18 degrees in the morning, but she went out anyway, and she came back in. Now she can come back in because she's at home. And right now, we're up against this again, where she is getting really cold, and it's, you know, almost a little dark when she goes out to ride. But she is, like, committed, and she's having a hard time changing her habit. She has created a good habit mm-hmm. of getting out and exercising first thing in the morning and exercising her horse. But I really just want to be like, no, don't. But you know what? She's going to change it on her own, because it's, and the more I push and say don't, the more she pushes back because she wants to control it. Absolutely. And there's really no harm in letting her control it.
Right. And if she goes out in the cold, I mean, she'll learn to dress appropriately. Mm-hmm. And maybe she'll change the time. And she'll realize that she's the one making that choice.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, there's like one day a week that she must come to town with me, because she has my oldest daughter does classes at the college, and then she has classes that day as well. And last night, I so did not want to let her ride this morning, because I knew she was probably going to be running late. Well, now, this morning, of course, she was. My other daughter might have been a minute or two late to class because her sister wasn't ready on time. Because now she can't get up at 6 to ride. She has to wait till 7. And, you know, by the time you do the riding and you have breakfast and get all the animals cared for, it's a lot. So I've been thinking about how I have to deal with this, and I think the consequence is, if you're late in the next week, or maybe even just the next day, you're not allowed to ride first thing in the morning. If you make your sister late, then you are going to be late to your violin lesson. I will sit in front of the teacher's house. If your sister was 5 minutes late to class, you will also be 5 minutes late to your thing. I will sit in front of her house with you for 5 extra minutes so that you understand. And I'm thinking that's probably the better consequence, because taking 5 minutes away of violin is a big deal to her. She loves it.
So maybe, too, just a thought, that maybe after you drop the older one off and then you're going to the violin lesson, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe if you took a longer route to mm-hmm. get there, and then it's not
quite so in your face.
Right, and so much on you.
Oh, do you think that's better for it to be the longer route?
Well,
because I actually have built in a buffer. Usually we go to the car wash, and then we have about 5 minutes to wait in front of the teacher's house before she has to be in.
I take away that 5 minutes.
Just take it away with the longer route. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what made you late.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, so that's
Well, we were late. We dropped your sister off.
And we have all these errands to do between here and there. And sorry you made it that late. So that's the natural. So don't make a point of it by sitting in front of the teacher's house for 5 extra minutes.
Oh. No, that might cause more of a rift between the two of you.
Oh, okay. Because really I'm just establishing my authority when I do that, as opposed to just making a natural consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Because I had already sort of floated some things like that. I've already floated. There's going to be a consequence for you making your sister late.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say that.
Don't say it again. Let it go now. Mm-hmm. I've already said it, but don't do it again. Don't make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
And let her ride her horse in the morning.
Yeah.
And let us be a little late.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if I have to, I can take my oldest daughter and leave her behind, and she can miss the whole lesson because Dad's usually home in the mornings. He works from home, so it's really not a big deal. Oh, yeah, that would be sorry, we're leaving at this time, no matter whether you're in the car or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
The taxi's leaving right now.
So I have to share this with you. When you referred a therapist to us all those years ago, sometimes I would be sitting in the office and we're just like this. And really, you're just troubleshooting and working something out. But where I got value was like that little bit of feedback where your focus is more on the relationship, not making the point. my focus was more on the point, making the point, than on the relationship. So when you think of the relationship first, but still make your point.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't make a point of making the point.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's what you're hearing, yes.
I love this. Don't make a point of making the point.
Yeah.
Oh, my
but
gosh.
But make the point.
But make the point. But don't. Okay, because by making a point of making the point, I am undermining our relationship. Okay, lots of lessons here.
I think so.
Lots of lessons here from my own little session with Linda. Not that we came in for a session with Linda, but we're still sharing the message on building relationships. And I have no doubt that people will listen to this and apply it to their own situation, their own life.
I think it's real hard to think outside of what we're used to thinking about. To do it ourselves is sometimes we feel like we're just trapped in these this way of thinking. And to think of another way, we can't. So we really need somebody to talk to about it if we're caught where we're in that blind spot.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yes. Because I know I have been caught in that blind spot more times than I can count in my life, and I believe most parents have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is where I really, I'm going to share this for a moment. I really struggled with actually sharing right here, where I'm going to show this video or share the audio in various places of all of this. I thought of homeschool think tank, and I knew over a year ago I was going to interview people. But I think I didn't have my direction well enough to do it yet. But I also think I had fear of sharing my failures as a mother, my shortcomings. But the fact is, almost everybody, and I would say everybody, has had failures as a parent.
Absolutely.
And shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And what gives me the strength to do this, it's not that I just want to go around talking about my problems in front of the world. It's that I want to help other people if they can. I'll cry again. Some of my pain has been so strong. And my child's pain, my family's pain, it has been so strong that I can help another family avoid that or cut it short by sharing my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that. I do try to maintain my children's privacy to the best of my ability while still sharing the messages I have to share. And I think that has probably been the hardest part for me in sharing, is trying to give my children that privacy. And so clearly I'm exposing some of our challenges, but I also believe that we will overcome our challenges and that we have overcome a lot, and we will overcome some that we are currently in. And by sharing, I'm helping others.
And there are people, women especially, that don't talk about what it's like to be a mother, and they do not like their kids at certain times, but still they love their children, but they may not like them because of the behavior. And who can you tell that to?
It's hard.
I really don't like my child right now. And you feel like a failure, and you're not. Everybody goes through that because of the way that we were brought up, whatever perception we had of whatever experience, and then our children have their perception, and it may not match what our perception is, Usually it doesn't, but...
No, it doesn't. Well, gosh, you just listen to my kids tell a few stories where there is truth to it, but their perception and my perception was totally different. Wow. And, oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. I had like about 10 thoughts to flow through, but I was just listening and now I've lost all my responses. Oh, gosh, I'm going to glance at my notes again unless you have something else to add there that's on your mind.
Well, I just think it's important that we also look at ourselves. Like you said in the beginning, if we don't look at ourselves, nothing's going to get better.
No.
We can't, like, I worked in foster care in different positions for 18 years, and I grew to learn that if things don't change at home, then what we're doing with foster children is we're making a mess for them, more of a mess, because we teach them different behaviors and how to do things, some things differently, and then we send them back to the same environment, and that causes them more harm than if we'd have just left them alone to begin with. If the family doesn't change this, and this is not just parents, and parents are not intentionally bad. Not at all. Every parent wants to do the best they can do, and they want the best for their children, but we have to look at what our experience was, and that influenced greatly how we parent. Mm-hmm. And we need to look at it as a family issue. It's not just a parent or just a child. It's a family issue.
Absolutely.
And if we want to go to counseling for our child, or we want our child to go to counseling, we need to be willing to go too, and we need to go as a family. Otherwise, it is not going to change.
Well, I agree 100%, and I'm so glad. I feel like I didn't fail the test. Because when we went to therapy all these years ago, and the therapist never told us to do this. This was my call as the woman of the household. I said, we are all going, all of us. And I mean, my husband was 100% on board. It's not like I met any resistance. But I do believe if I would have said, let's send our daughter in, that's how it would have gone. But so I said, we are all going, even my oldest daughter, because while my daughter may be exhibiting symptoms, this is impacting all of us, and it's going to take all of us to help. And I'll tell you what, we did everything that therapist told us to do. I mean, to the T. Linda, I don't think we went, I can't remember, 15 times, give or take. I don't know. I know I put some other number out there at some point, and I know this is a different number. I really don't remember. But give or take. And then what I would do, though, is actually after every one, even though we were in there for all of it, and I did a follow-up call the next day, just me and him, to talk about it and say the things that I couldn't say in front of my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The things that you can't say because you don't want to hurt them.
Right.
Or make the situation worse. And so that helped us a lot. And... yeah, we went as a family and we followed his instruction, and I'm so grateful for your excellent reference. So here's part of why I'm interviewing Linda today. It's not just because she's my husband's aunt. It is because everywhere you turn in our community, somebody learns that we're related somehow, and oh, she's so great. Oh, she helped us so much. I'm telling you, you have such an amazing reputation, and you've helped so many people. And these are just the people I've talked to that had no reason to ever tell me they saw you.
Wow.
So they saw you, and they loved
That's
you.
That's great. I know.
You've been so helpful.
At a
people.
New nursing or rehabilitation center that was being opened here in town, and I went to check it out. And the people there were awesome and showed me all around and explained to me how it worked. It was great. And at the end, she asked me to repeat my name. Mm-hmm. And so I did. And she says, I can't believe it. And I said, what? And she said, well, would you consider volunteering and coming in and teaching a class maybe once a month? She said, you are such a legend. And I couldn't move. I froze.
You're like, I'm a legend?
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh.
You are, Linda. People love you. People love you. And you've helped a lot of people. And that's why I'm talking to you today. Because not only did you help me, but I've heard it from so many other people.
I didn't know all that. Thank you.
You're welcome. That, like I said, I don't just go around interviewing relatives because, like, I don't have anybody else to interview. I've had over 70 people say yes to interviewing with me. That's and you're awesome. You're here right now because I think your Thank message you. Is good, and I think people need to hear all about relationships. We've got just a little bit longer. I have to go pick up a kid here soon, so I'm going to glance at my notes here. Oh, I want to touch on this. You were talking about reacting and responding, and we talked about this earlier when we got ready for this interview, that when a parent overreacts, and I have been guilty of overreacting, I believe nearly every parent has, and if you haven't, I'm probably not going to believe you, if you tell me you didn't ever, but when we overreact to our children, what you said is, the unspoken message is, that the item or thing is more important than the kid.
That's right. Absolutely right. 100%. Yep. What we're saying is, like, for example, you have your child make their bed. And if there's wrinkles in the bedding and you right away straighten it out, what you're telling your child is that they can't do a good job. And even if you say, oh, you did a good job, thank you for doing that, no, your behavior is showing them that that's not true. Mm-hmm. And so you're invalidating them. If they walk past you and you don't move to give them some room to get past you, like, maybe pull your legs in or turn a little bit, then you're telling them that they're not important enough, that you just don't recognize them. And that's a huge message, and it takes a lot to correct it. It's huge. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes.
That's so important.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, I can think of some very specific times I overreacted. And like, oh, do you want to share? We each had one that we shared, and we're going to share a story when each of us has overreacted to our children. Do you want to go first? Sure. Do you want me to go first?
No, I can't.
All right.
Okay. The girls were probably preteen, and we bought a new carpet for the living room, and I left the glue, the can of glue, sitting where they could see it, and they picked it up, and I had the sofa in the middle of the living room, and they decided to get the can up on the sofa, and then they dropped it behind the sofa, and of course it came open and glue spilled everywhere, and that happened to be right in the middle of the living room and on the brand new carpet. I was so angry. I sent them to their room. I cleaned it up. And when my husband came home, I had to leave the house because I didn't want to hurt them.
And, and I can understand this because a brand new carpet, literally brand new.
Literally.
And they had glue everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they thought it was funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. How old were they then?
Oh, probably 9 and 11.
Oh, old enough to know better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When you first told me this, I was picturing like maybe 3 and 5. Oh, yeah.
No, I just wanted to kill him.
Quite literally.
And so, yes, literally. And I knew I had to get out of there. And so actually my message to them was that the carpet was more important than they were.
Yeah.
And I, after I had plenty of time, like maybe 5 years, to think about it.
5 years.
It took a long time. And then I realized that that was the wrong reaction. It was wrong, but it was human. It was a human response.
Yes.
And we lived with that spot of glue in the middle of the carpet for 17 years.
Until they moved out. No more new carpet until you moved out. I got it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll share mine with you. So when my youngest was two-ish, she was potty training. Now, that house, our bedroom was downstairs, and her bedroom was directly above our bedroom. So every morning I could hear her get up, and she has always been an early riser. I mean, you heard me saying she's been getting up at 6 a.m. all morning, all summer to ride horses. Well, it's always been this way. And I'm laying there in bed, and I'm like, nature has me waking up at 7, not at 5:30. And, you know, just that's my rhythm. I'm laying there and I'm thinking, I need to get up. I better get up. I hear her up there running around. And, you know, she's little. You can't let little ones run around too long alone. So I go up the stairs and, oh, my gosh, how I wish I had gotten up earlier. I went in the bathroom and she had taken her little potty chair cup and emptied the entire toilet, literally through the water all over the bathroom.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was, you know, it was toilet water. There was nothing in it, but it was still gross toilet water. Like, I had to Clorox. You know, I spent the next 4 hours Cloroxing the bathroom and cleaning it up. And, I mean, like, oh, my gosh. I was so angry. And do you want to know what I said? And I ate my words for, like, the next 6 months. I was just so mad. And I said, bad baby. And she was just old enough to repeat. Anytime she knew she was misbehaving, she would say, bad baby. And, oh, my God, it crushed me. Because that's the last thing I want her to feel about herself. But in that moment, I mean, I didn't physically harm her in any way. Like, I'm actually not much of a swatter. My kids have probably had a handful of swats ever. You know, and I mean a swat, not like nothing extreme. Like, just the tiniest little thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I tend to believe more in natural consequences than spanking my kids. But those words. To this day, I mean, clearly, she'll probably remember them someday when I say this, or she listens to this if she's older, but at this moment, I don't believe she remembers those words, but I do, and I remember that sat with her enough, and that she would bring them out, and it
hurts your
heart. It hurts my heart, yeah, because I adore her, and, you know, she's so much more important than the floor or a dirty wall or anything else.
Well, and that's how I feel with the girls. And here I yelled at them, what's the matter with you? You should know that that is not the thing to do, blah, blah, blah. And it was demeaning to them, I'm sure. And they would still remember and laugh.
Well, they would. They were old enough. But, you know,
and
it doesn't mean you didn't do something you shouldn't have done. But the way I dealt with it honestly, in some ways, I sort of felt like I dealt with it about as well as anybody would have.
Yeah.
You know, if that's all I said. And then I put the child gate up and had her stay in her room while I cleaned the bathroom. And I actually believe I just sopped up the floor, fed her breakfast, then did that. Because I couldn't have her, like,
right,
you know,
right,
in there with all the Clorox and stuff. But yeah, at any rate, I still like, those words, you can't take them back.
You can't take them
back.
Mm-hmm.
So Linda, we're about out of time here because I have to go pick up said child from a homeschool class that she participates in. And we have talked about getting together and doing a little workshop, an online workshop for our families in the Homeschool Think Tank community. What do you have in mind for this workshop?
Well, communication. Communication is, I believe, it's as important as relationship. If we don't have communication, we can't build a relationship. And we need to learn to listen and to say what we mean. There, in closing, I want to say that one of the parenting programs that I discovered and used, and I find it works well in any relationship, is love and logic.
Really, a lot of what we're talking about inside Homeschool Think Tank, yes, it's about homeschooling, but it's about so much more. And this is one of those things that's about so much more. It's about relationship with your kids. I believe that's why so many parents ultimately homeschool their children, is to create great relationships with their kids. It is heartbreaking when it doesn't work out quite the way you wanted it to, but there are things you can do to bring it back if it's not working that way, and there are things you can do to prevent issues if it's going nice and smooth still, and maybe your kids are really young and you haven't hit those roadblocks yet and those speed bumps.
Yes, and you can start building them in when your child is like 6 months old. They are not too young at that point to learn there's consequences with what they do. They're not too young.
Yeah. You mean like when they drop the spoon off the high chair, you don't pick it up?
Yes, because when they drop it and you pick it up, they drop it, you pick it up, it's a game.
They've trained you. Yes. We're all trained parents at that point.
Yes. And if you don't fall for that and you just don't pick up the spoon, they're not going to be doing it.
I really hope that you have benefited from this interview with Linda Wiebe, and I am so grateful to her for doing this interview with me and actually being one of the very first interviews that I ever did. And like I said, she is such a well-respected therapist in our community, and I want you to know I did this interview for several reasons. The first is that I really believe relationships are the most important part of parenting your children, and especially when you homeschool your kids. Having that relationship is just so vital to helping your children learn. So as a result of starting Homeschool Think Tank and interviewing wonderful people like Linda Wiebe and others, I have learned so much about parenting, about connecting with your children, and I really believe that had I known so many of the things that I have learned, that I could have prevented issues that I've had through our years of homeschooling. Certainly not all of them, but many of them. And this is so much of why I share these podcast interviews with you, is to help you overcome challenges similar to what I have had, and to potentially sidestep some of these challenges if you haven't hit that point. And that is so much of what we will be doing inside of our online homeschool parenting group, is talking about your mindset as a parent, about connecting with your kids, about building homeschooling communities for yourself and your children, and of course about education. And just constantly improving where we are in our lives. So this is a very growth-minded group. And if you have that growth mindset, I think that you will really love what we will be doing inside of this group. I hope to see you inside our online homeschool parenting group. Remember to sign up to join our email list in the link below, and we will send you an invitation when we open that group for enrollment. All right, I hope that you have a great week. Live and learn your way. My name is Jackie, and I am your host of the Homeschool Think Tank Parenting Podcast. I want to say thank you for listening to the Homeschool Think Tank Parenting Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd like to ask you to take a moment to follow this podcast and share it with a friend. Remember to check the show notes for a link to the article that corresponds with this podcast episode. In this article, we'll include any links that we mentioned in this episode. And remember that you can search all of the Homeschool Think Tank Parenting Podcast episodes at homeschoolthinktank.com.